Good morning to everyone. Good to see everyone here this morning as we have come to worship our God. We certainly are glad to have all of you, those of visiting with us. We're glad that you're here. You are an encouragement for us. And we encourage you, if you have any questions about the lesson, to write it down and get with me and talk with me about it. We love discussing these things because they are important and to help us to fulfill God's desire in our lives. So that we get it right and do His will. And so this morning, as we continue and really begin to bring an end to our theme this year, as we are the last day of November and then December, it sure has been going by fast. And there's a lot more to be said, especially when it comes to serving our King, as expressed there in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verses 13 through 16, as it tells us about Him, the only sovereign, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and He has eternal dominion. And what a blessing it is to serve our great and awesome King. He has done wonderful things for us, continues to do them, and will do as we serve Him and do His will. He is that great King, and because He's that great King, we owe Him our allegiance, every aspect of us in service to Him. And so as we continue to think about what does that look like in serving our King, because the last discussion, we looked at Jacob's change from his way to God's way. That's what serving our King is taking our desires, moving them out of the way, and then fulfilling the King's desire. Doing His will. And this is what we saw with Jacob when he made that change. He no longer relied on his scheme, but he relied on God, who guided him and blessed him. And then we saw it with Ruth, with her loyalty and humility. Here coming from a foreign land to dwell with the people of God and become a part of them, and then ends up being in the lineage of Christ Jesus. And so what a picture of servitude, wanting to serve God. And that's what she did as she showed her loyalty and her willingness to submit to the things of Israel. And so this morning, I want to look at another person to help us to see what it looks like in serving our King. And appreciate Brother Keith reading from Hebrews chapter 3 there, verses 5 and 6. And if you notice in those two verses, there is the point that is brought out about Moses. And it says, now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. Notice that point that's being made about Moses. Moses served faithfully in the house of God. And yes, it is contrasted or put in reference to show the superiority of Christ as being faithful, but as the son in God's house. And so, again, that's what the Hebrew writer is doing. But he makes that point about Moses. And so that's a very important point for us to consider, to see what it looks like in serving our King. And so I titled the lesson in reference to serving our King of what it looks like. It looks like the faithful servitude of Moses. That's what it looks like. It looks like when we look at what Moses had done, the things that he was involved in, and the service to God, in spite of the challenges, Moses' faithful servitude serves as a lesson for us. Yes, Jesus is the ultimate servant. And yes, His life and the things that He taught are the ultimate example for us. And that's what the Hebrew writer has done, too, to show that, yes, the superiority of Christ, but look at Moses. And when you think about what Moses did, he was faithful, but as a servant. So that's what we want to look at, as the servant in God's house, and what Moses went through in the serving the Lord and leading the people. In Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, this statement that is made by God concerning Moses is because Moses' authority is being challenged where God had put him in this position to lead Israel from Egypt and then also giving the law to Moses to give to the children of Israel. But here in chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, notice what God is saying concerning Moses. And he said, "Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house." Notice the Hebrew writer expressed that. These are the very words that came from God about Moses. And it is something that you and I should strive for, that God would say that about us in our serving the King, that we would be faithful in all that he says and all that he teaches us to be. And this is what God said about Moses. So Moses, this faithful servant of God, demonstrates of how you and I are to be when it comes to serving the King, that the King would say that about us, fulfilling his will and his desire. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 5 and 6 says this concerning the copy of the tabernacle and so forth, that God had instructed Moses to make the tabernacle. So what the Hebrew writer is doing, not only is he telling us about those things were a shadow of the good things to come in reference to Christ, but he's also pointing out the faithfulness of Moses. They serve a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." That's the point. Moses made everything according to the pattern that God had shown him, demonstrating the faithfulness of Moses. Why? Because they were pointed to something greater. The things, as stated there in verse 5 of chapter 3, of those things that were to come, these things that we speak about today, Moses was faithful in making that pattern or the tabernacle according to God's design. He didn't change anything. He didn't assume anything. He did exactly what God wanted him to do. That is a description of faithfulness. Full of faith to do what God wanted him to do. That is what we see. And when you look back there in Exodus chapter 25 through 27, we see the construction of the tabernacle. It was so according to what God had said that God even descended on the tabernacle and dwelt with Israel, because it was exactly what he wanted. And that was to show God's approval. So what does the servitude of Moses showing us about serving our King? It's about doing all that pleases the Lord. That's what Moses did. He did all those things because it pleased God. And that serves as a lesson for us. Whatever the King has instructed us as his people, we are to do because that's what pleases the King. If we are to pray for our enemies, we are to pray for them. That's what the King says. If we're to love our enemies, yes, that's what the King says. If we are to sing with thankfulness in our hearts to God, yes, that's what we are to do. When God requires and encourages us to pray to him, to pray without ceasing, let's do that. Why? Because it pleases the King. King wants us to communicate with him. The king wants us to share our anxieties with him. The king wants us to acknowledge him and to show that he leads in our lives by submitting and doing all those things. And they please him as we fulfill that desire. That is what serving our king looks like when it comes to the faithful servitude of Moses. Here's something else that we see when we look at chapter 11 of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26, notice again as the Hebrew writer is pointing out something else about Moses and the servitude and what drove Moses. It says, by faith. Definitely, as the Hebrew writer brings out. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. And so what Moses, what we're being told is Moses looked at the rewards and he saw that the rewards of Christ, the rewards of God, was far greater. But there's something else that is stated here about Moses in those verses. In verse 25, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God. The other thing, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth. Those two statements about Moses is telling us that Moses chose God. That's what Moses did. He chose God. He didn't choose and put his desires first. No, he chose God. And that's what you and I are to do. We are to choose God. That's what faithful servitude is. It's because we choose God. We choose to do this every day. We choose. Why? Because we're considering that what God has commanded is for our benefit. We're choosing God because we love him, because he first loved us. So we're choosing him. We're choosing and considering and we're thinking and we're seeing the value of what God provides versus what the world or someone else provides. That's what faithful servitude is all about. It's about choosing God first. Choosing to serve the king. Putting him first. Putting his instructions ahead of our desires. You see, the thing about faithfulness or being faithful is about being full of that faith towards God. To make that choice. Faith will drive us to do that. It will motivate us to choose him because we have thought about it. And we made that decision based upon the evidence that was presented to us. What was the evidence that was presented to Moses? Well, one of the things that you can think about is really his survival concerning when all of the young men or boy or babies, the male babies, are being slaughtered. And God, through his providence, preserved the life of Moses. That he ended up being in the house of Pharaoh's daughter. And thinking about that, what other evidence? The other evidence is when Moses, the burning bush, seeing that bush being on fire but yet not consumed. And even as Moses had fled Egypt because he had killed one of the Egyptians in protecting one of his own, of the Hebrews, and he flees, and yet God preserves him in the wilderness. And you see those 40 years of growth and development. even meeting someone that he marries his wife. He is seeing the goodness of God in his own life. And then when he is about to be slain because of failing to circumcise one of his sons, and his wife steps in and she does it so that his life would be spared, he is seeing the goodness of God even in those moments. And he chooses God. Did Moses have some trepidation in doing that? Yes, absolutely. But his faith compelled him forward in spite of those things, in spite of those challenges. And that's what we're seeing about Moses, being faithful, of a servant of the Lord. Because he chose God. That's what faithful servitude is about. It's always choosing God. In Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15, and then dropping on down to verse 23, that's expressed by Joshua. Look at Joshua and the statement that he makes. God being with Joshua as they're conquering the land. And remember, Joshua was one of the spies. And he trusted God. He chose God. We can do this. While the others are cowering. No, he and Caleb, they're saying, no, we can do this. Why? Because of God. We've seen God in action. So he chooses God. And then when it came towards the end of his life, as he's encouraging the others, he tells them to fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Tells them to put away the gods that their father served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And that's an encouragement for us today in serving our King. To put those things that hinder us and gets in our way of serving, put them aside and serve it. And he says, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, he says, choose this day whom you will serve. And what you have to do is have a heart that is inclined to the Lord. And when your heart is inclined to the Lord, you're going to make those choices. You're going to choose God. That's what it's about. To search out what God's instructions are. To search out what His will is for our lives. And so when it comes to this faithful servitude of Moses, it's about choosing God. When it comes to serving our King, it's about choosing to serve Him. In fact, that's what love is all about. Love is choosing. And that's what God wants. He wants us to love Him that we choose Him. And when you look at all the evidence and all the things that are presented, it should incline our hearts towards Him. Because He's looking out for our best interest. Here's another passage that Jesus said this in connection to His disciples when He was teaching them. There in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, he says, and He was saying to them all, if anyone wants, desires, or chooses to come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. It's a daily choice. It's a daily purpose in choosing God. Each new day presents that choice before us. And then He tells us, if we want to save our life, we're going to lose it. If we don't choose it, but if we choose Him and if we lose our life for His sake, it's going to be saved. Why? Because of who the King is that we're serving. And so we are to choose Him. Choosing God. That's what this is all about. And then there's something else that we see in reference to this faithful servitude. Mm-hmm. of Moses. Remember in chapter 3 of Exodus, and where Moses receives the word of God to go to Egypt. And we read about the excuses that Moses is trying to make, but yet he ends up going. God made it possible for him to go, and he chooses to go, and as he goes. And he is very successful in carrying out God's will in leading the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. That here they are, after all of the plagues and everything, they come to the Red Sea there in chapter 14. And Moses and Israel safely crosses the Red Sea. Chapter 15 is then dedicated to God. Earlier in chapter 14, before they crossed over, God had said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to move forward." Now, in that question tells us about the thought maybe of Moses himself. Wait a minute, we have the Egyptians here, we have the sea here, and the people are crying out. They are afraid. And as Moses even told them to not be afraid, and he gave that stirring speech to the children of Israel, but then he ends up going back to God. And God says, "Why are you crying out to me? Just tell the people to move forward." And that lets us know that in this struggle, in the serving of God, sometimes that's going to happen. And we still need to go to God. And God encourages him and tells him, "You tell the people to move forward." There is no if and buts. There is no doubt about this. And Moses takes the staff and he does exactly what God tells him to do. And they cross safely. And then when you get to chapter 15, as it says, it's dedicated to God in just a few verses. And I encourage you to read that song of Moses. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, and my father's God, I will exalt him." Notice the things that are being sung in that, those statements that are made in the song about praising God, about exalting. And he says, "I will do this." That goes back to the choosing of God. And the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. In other words, Jehovah is his name. And when you read that, encouraging to read chapter 15 and notice those powerful things that are sung about God. Moses and the people. And in particular, Moses as he has chosen God. But here's the thing about the faithful servitude of Moses. You see, Moses doesn't take the glory. He gives it to God. That's what faithful servitude does. That's why the servant is doing this. It's because he recognizes the true power. He recognizes the one who is truly in charge. And that's in contrast to what happened with Israel during the book of the Judges, as we talked about a while back, concerning the judges who would come as God was sent them to deliver the children of Israel out of bondage because of their sin. And then as soon as the judge died, they went back into it. Why? Because they didn't recognize God as the true judge. But Moses does. And it is evident in his service. And it becomes no wonder that Moses is called by God a faithful servant in all his house. Even in the giving of the law, Moses recognized that these laws are the laws of God. And yes, they are called the law of Moses is because God gave those laws through Moses to the people. If you talk to Moses, Moses doesn't say, these are my laws. No, he says, these are the laws of the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 5, Moses says, I was a mediator. I was between you and, the Lord. While I was standing between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you, notice, the word of the Lord. Why is that? I am the servant. It is the Lord that is in charge. It is the Lord that is the true deliverer. It is the Lord's law. He is the true lawgiver. And even as you even go to chapter 18 and about the prophet, he considers himself as a spokesman, God putting his word in him to speak to the people. And that's what he does. And the reason why is because he recognizes this. He recognizes God. And that's what our King wants us to do. He wants us to recognize him as the King. That's why, as Paul was writing to Timothy there in 1 Timothy chapter 6 about that, he was talking about this King, the King of Kings. Recognize that. He is the sovereign. And as we do that, the things that we teach from his word, we're going to recognize, they are the words of God. We are to follow God's instruction. We are to serve the King. We are to do his bidding. We are to keep that in mind when it comes to him. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Notice when Paul writes to Timothy, he says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The grace in relationship to Christ, the grace that is in him, the grace that is about him. He says, you be strong in this. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. Teach them what? The grace that is in Christ Jesus. The focal point is the King. The focal point is about the grace. That's what faithful servitude does. It recognizes the King is in charge. It recognizes that it's about him. It recognizes that the true authority is from the King. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples there in Matthew 16, verse 19 in particular, after Peter had said concerning the keys, Jesus being the Son of the living God. And Jesus' reply to Peter and the rest of the apostles later on, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. He rules. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Heaven dictates. The King reigns and the king rules, and therefore we are to serve him according to his instructions. And that's why we're warned by John there in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, not to add or subtract. What God has given is sufficient. And one more thing about the faithful servitude of Moses that we can learn in reference to serving our king. Now, I mentioned chapter 14 of them crossing the Red Sea safely. But before then, remember, they were crying out, "No graves in Egypt. You know, that you brought us out here to die in the desert." Chapter 16 of Exodus. No food as they are in the on their way to Mount Sinai. No food. Longing for Egypt. Pots of meat in Egypt. Chapter 17. No water. I mean, complain. Chapter 32. The golden calf worship. After seeing the mighty act of God, and then they turn around and they worship the golden, they make this golden calf and worship. Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The jealousy of Miriam and Aaron towards Moses because of the position that God had appointed him to. The complaints there. These complaints that Moses is going through, they are loud complaints. Very loud. He is outnumbered. Chapter 16, Korah's rebellion. Moses' authority is challenged, and this authority that was given to him by God. Chapter 20, verses 2 through 5, no water again at Meribah, complaining. 21, verses 4 and 5, their impatience, they spoke against God and Moses. That's what they did. And as I said, the complaints were loud. He is leading the children of Israel at the behest of God. And then God says this about him, that he is faithful in all my house. What we learn about the faithful servitude of Moses and helps us to know what it looks like to serve our king, steadfastness. Steadfastness. Steady as she go in the midst of complaints. It can wear you down. It can cause you to change. Moses stays steadfast. That's what it looks like to serve our king, is to be steadfast in the midst of rejection. And even when times are going well, to be aware that it's about serving the king. It's about doing his will, following his word. This is what we're learning about the steadfastness or the faithful servitude of Moses, that he is steadfast. He hung in there. That quality about serving our king. That's what it takes. Because sometimes, yes, the noise is going to get very loud. It's going to wear on you. But we have to be steadfast. Steady as we go. Hang on for dear life to what the king has said and do them with all our might, all our heart, with all our very being. And we can be successful. That at the end, as God has said this about Moses, he'll say that about us. As we serve the king who is faithful as a son in his house, who is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That's what faithful servitude is all about in reference to the example that Moses sets before us of what it looks like doing all that pleases the Lord, choosing God. God is the one that's in charge. He is the true deliverer, the true lawgiver. And steadfastness. Steadfastness. If you will, bow with me in a word of prayer. O Lord, our Lord, thank you for what you have done. Thank you for these lessons that you have given us, that we can look at them and we can learn to see how we are to serve you all the days of our lives. Forgive us, Lord, when we have failed in that, but help us to grow stronger and stronger and draw closer to you so that we will not fail choosing to do your bidding, and that you'll lead us into the eternals, to be with you throughout eternity, to experience the great love, the great mercy, the eternal glory. Thank you for such opportunities, and help us, Lord, to look beyond all the noise and the challenges so that we will be steady in our service, and help us to put our whole trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not a Christian, you can become one. All things are ready. You see, you're separated from God by sin. And what you need to do is you need to have faith. And that faith comes by hearing God's word, hearing about Christ, the grace that is in Christ, the grace about our salvation being found in him, and then to repent of our sins. And it should cause us to repent, because that's the whole point. When we learn about what Christ did in dying for us because of our sin, it should cause us to turn away from sin because we see how destructive it is, and turn to God and then confess him as Lord, confess him as the King, and then be buried with him in baptism, where our sins are washed away, and now we're in Christ Jesus. Now we're in that arena of salvation. We are Christians. We are born again. We are of the family of God. We're of the people of God. We're of God's rule, and we are to live faithfully, ever walking, ever serving him with all the things that we've learned about what it looks like to serve him, as we've learned from the faithful servitude of Moses. So this morning, if you want to be of God, choose him. Choose him. Choose to serve him before it's everlasting too late. All things are ready. We're here to help. If you've fallen away, I want to encourage you, renew your commitment to him. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. We're here to encourage one another to do God's will, to serve this awesome and great King. And so if we can assist you in your obedience to this great and awesome King, we encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and sing the song that's indicated.